You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 all.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team, every day. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends, back together with my buddy Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, we have, it looks like, some good news to talk about today.
Yeah, you know, I'm still in I'll believe it when the ink is dry mode, but it seems like we're going to get a baseball season, even though it didn't come about the way anybody would have liked it to.
Yeah, it didn't come about the way anyone would have liked it to, and basically came about the way maybe it was expected come March, or at least somewhat expected. But we'll get into those details, and we'll get into some Dodger predictions that, you know, can finally maybe talk about a baseball season. But before that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts, and when you get in your car, or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, Jeff, so the MLB side gave one proposal. The players had a vote, or players union had a vote, and it was shot down. So then MLB basically said they will impose a season. Looks like 60 games, no expanded playoffs, yes to universal DH. Yeah, starting there, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, there's a lot of thoughts. It was interesting that, you know, MLB is going to impose a 60-game season when they had been talking about maybe a 48-game season. They're just imposing their last proposal, except without some of the enticements they had offered to the union to try to get them to accept the proposal. It does seem like maybe they're trying to hedge their bets against a grievance, because right now, at this point, with how long things have dragged on, seems like maybe 60 games is about as many of as they have time for anyway. And so the union's grievance would be that MLB didn't put forth a good faith effort to play as many games as possible. And at this point, what they're imposing is probably close to as many games as possible. Obviously, if they had cooperated sometime in the last 2 months, things could have been better. But yeah, so that's interesting to me. The fact that a lot of the things in their negotiations back and forth had been, okay, we'll do this stuff for 2020 and 2021, the expanded playoffs, the universal DH, you know, expanded playoffs are just off the board entirely now until the next CBA. The universal DH is still in place for this year because it's a health and safety precaution that they had agreed on. But it's off the table for next year. As of right now, I'm still dubious that they will ever go back to pitchers hitting. But who knows? At least for now, they might have to. There might be an in-between season in 2021 before the new CBA. But yeah, it's interesting, and it's sad that we can't just be celebrating baseball's coming back. Partly because COVID is still around, but also partly because this has been handled about as poorly as something can be handled.
Yeah, for it to end up this way, you know, they could have just saved face from the beginning and impose it, I guess, once the players said that they weren't going to come off their stance of full prorated salary. You know, we already talked about plenty of times the owners and their negotiations, or, you know, a very loose definition of that word. But yeah, we can get a little bit excited. Like I said, they still need to figure out the health protocols and stuff. But I think, you know, the craziest part is that they're expected to start reporting July 1st, which is very soon, with the season starting in about a month. But yeah, like I said, COVID is still around and in some areas more rampant than before, or at least, you know, there's more testing now. I guess that's my next question is, you know, what's going to be the threshold? You know, we saw in the last week or so about 40 players and staff from various teams are all tested positive. You know, obviously it's going to be different when, you know, they're going to be getting tested every day and get quarantined if they're not. But do you, assuming everything else goes right, do you see this full season going on, and how committed are they to making, you know, once they start finishing that season?
I think everybody wants to finish the season once they start it. Yeah, it's tough to know what's going on because the number of cases, like you said, is going up, but the number of deaths is going down, which means, you know, at least on some level, they're getting a better handle on it. It may be, it's hard to know how much of the increase in cases is due to the increase in testing and how much of it is due to actual spread. But the deaths are going down. Hospitalizations are going down in most places. And so, you know, the scary part is there are plenty of people involved in the game of baseball who are at risk in one way or another, or their family is. And so, you know, Dusty Baker is what, 800 years old, you know, and there's plenty of managers who are old, front office types who are old, players with underlying health issues. So, yeah, I'm interested to see. I wish that I'm still hoping that, you know, they're going to figure out better treatments for this thing so that, you know, I still think that's the most important thing, even for a season next year. They need to have treatments. You know, they're not going to have a vaccine necessarily anytime soon, but if they could find good treatments for this so that so it actually would be like the flu, like a lot of people say it is, with, you know, if the risk of death, even for high risk people, could be eliminated or drastically reduced, I think that's the big thing. And so it's still a medical question, but I think they're committed to trying to get through the season, but I don't think any of us have any clue if that's possible.
But like you said, yeah, they're going to be committed to finishing. You know, they will have the expanded rosters or the taxi squad, as we've talked about before. So, I mean, theoretically, a team could handle up to, you know, 10, 15 guys all being positive at once. Obviously, that wouldn't be ideal for any team or in general, that wouldn't be ideal. But it is possible. It's hard to say, look at what's going on in other countries because they're handling it a lot different than the U.S. is. But once you kind of get everyone separated, you know, either people are going to have it and they get better and then they come back into the fold, or nobody should really get it because there's not going to be anything from the outside. So we'll see what happens there. But it is exciting to possibly have baseball for sure coming back. Like you said earlier, waiting for everything to get finalized. I think once we see a schedule, it'll start to feel more real. But we're going to start treating it like it's real. Unless anything crazy happens in the next couple of days.
Yeah, it will be easier to do a podcast about the Dodgers if the Dodgers start playing baseball games.
That is correct. We're going to talk about the Dodgers and a season and make maybe some little predictions here and there. But before we do that, let's talk about Built Bar. I'm going to tell you a little story about how I went hiking this weekend. And, you know, I was looking forward to having the Built Bar when we were halfway through the hike. And then I realized there was a miscommunication on other people's parts, and my Built Bar was forgotten. I didn't get to have a Built Bar, and I wasn't re-energized, and I wasn't getting, you know, protein for the second part of the hike to finish it out. So I was very upset. But it just goes to show you that Built Bars have kind of become part of my life now. And, you know, I don't know if there's any better recommendation than that. Than, you know, me actually going out and purchasing more Built Bars and using them on a somewhat regular basis. Beyond that, it's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. There's a bunch of different flavors. Right now, I only have one flavor, peanut butter banana, which is really good. But there's a bunch of different flavors that we've talked about various times on this podcast. All the bars are covered in chocolate. They're soft, easy to chew. Like I said, great tasting. And they're good for if you're health conscious, low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, most of these are only, you know, 3, 4, 5 grams of sugar or carbs, and up there in 15 to 20 grams of protein, you know, anywhere from, you know, over 110 calories to, you know, I don't think there's any of them over 200 calories. So they're good for you and they taste good. And right now you can get $10 off your first box at builtbar.com with the promo code locked on. That's promo code locked on, $10 off, builtbar.com, and keep it locked on Dodgers. All right, Jeff, so the season coming back got me thinking about 1994 and the work stoppage and finding an obscure former Dodger on that team. So that's what I did. But yeah, 1994, labor stoppage. So I looked up the 1994 Dodgers, and we've actually either done almost everyone on that team already as an obscure former Dodger, or they're not that obscure. But one guy stood out, and there actually wasn't much on him. Basically, definition of obscure. And it's Eddie Pye. P-Y-E last name. He played 7 games in 1994 for the Dodgers. Had a handful of ABs, only one hit. Played another 7 games in 1995 with the Dodgers. Had a handful of ABs with no hits. And that was the extent of his major league career. He was drafted by the Dodgers in the 10th round of the 1988 draft out of Middle Tennessee State. Jeff, which did any of the Dodgers minor league teams have a Brooklyn B hat as their...
Yeah, I'm looking at that, his baseball reference picture. He's got...
Yeah.
It definitely looks like the Brooklyn Dodgers hat. I'm looking at the teams he played for. Could have been the Bakersfield. Yeah, maybe that was what Bakersfield's hats look like then.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't remember for sure, but yeah, that's probably it.
Yeah. Yeah. Even, you know, just look, his Wikipedia page is 2 sentences, so not much there. He's very much obscure. There's an article here about how Eddie Pye was nervous. He was making his major league debut, but Eric Karros calmed him down, pointing out the familiarity of his surroundings and a bunch of players that he played with in the Great Falls Dodgers rookie team. But yeah, other than that, there's not much, too much on Eddie Pye. So I guess that makes him definition of obscure former Dodger.
Yeah, I did find some pictures of the Bakersfield Dodgers from the late 80s, early 90s, and that is definitely their hat. It's just basically a Brooklyn Dodgers hat. I see Mike Piazza wearing it. Mike Piazza and, Raul Mondesi and Pedro Martinez is one of the first results. So, yeah, it's kind of funny. I was obviously big into baseball at this point. His 2 seasons were my junior and senior years in high school, and I watched every game pretty much, and I've never heard of Eddie Pye.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, let's get on to short season Dodgers, 60 games. We'll hopefully be able to talk about a lot more stuff as the next month or so about actual baseball going on. But let's start about some things that we may see in a 60-game season, whether it's crazy or definitive or surprising, whatever it is, no real parameters around these predictions that we have. So, Jeff, kick us off with a prediction for the now 2020 season.
The Dodgers are going to win the National League West by 10 games, which is crazy. But my buddy Jeremy Frank at MLB Random Stats, he put out last year's each team's best 60-game stretch and worst 60-game stretch. The Dodgers had the best 60-game stretch in the National League and the best worst 60-game stretch in the National League. If every other team in the National League West if they all had their best 60-game stretch this year from last year and the Dodgers had their worst stretch, the Dodgers would only finish 2 games out of first place. Their worst 60-game stretch was 35-25, and the Giants and Rockies, both their best was 37-23. But if you look at their best stretches, the Dodgers last year, their best 60-game stretch was 6 games better than the Giants' best 60-game stretch. That was that stretch when the Giants were deluding themselves into thinking they were contenders and decided not to trade their players and stuff. Their great stretch was 6 games worse than the Dodgers' best stretch. And yeah, I just think the Dodgers are so much better than every other team in their division that the Dodgers are going to run away like they always do. seems like, obviously not every year, but they're going to run away with this division and finish with the biggest division lead in baseball of at least 10 games. That's my number one prediction.
A bold prediction, but I do think the Dodgers' depth serves them better. You know, 60-game season, people talk about the sprint, but also the fact of you're going to have a shortened spring training. You know, you're going to have to rely on depth more often. And the D-backs, while they could potentially be good in a short series or something like that, they definitely don't have the depth to kind of put up with this type of season. All right, my prediction, I say that the Dodgers are going to have over 7 players that all hit over 300 comfortably. I just think they're going to come out hot out of the gate. I think, well, hitting in general, I think, is going to be up at least early on, unless all these bullpen games turn into it. But I don't think so. I think hitting is going to be up early on. But I think the Dodgers are going to come out hot, come out rolling. And I think, you know, their lineup is already one of the deepest in the big leagues. They're going to add a DH to it. So they're going to have, you know, someone else kind of rotating and getting a day to just hit. That combined with the NL West pitching and even the AL West, if they, I believe they're still going to try to do that thing where they play the AL West. The pitching is not very strong over there once you get past a couple pitchers on the Astros and the A's. So I think the Dodgers are going to come out and have a bunch of guys hitting well over 300.
I like that. My next prediction, Walker Buehler wins his first Cy Young Award. He's going to, last year he was so good in so many of his starts, and it was just consistency. He would throw a clunker in every once in a while. And I think he is going to severely limit those clunkers, and just knowing that he's only going to get 12 starts, he's just going to go full bore. And I think he's going to, you know, go like 9-1 with the ERA around 2 and just dominate the league the whole season.
Yeah, that would be ideal. All right, my next prediction is, I don't know if it's as much a prediction as a hope, but I think AJ Pollock is going to be good, and I think he's going to surprise a lot of people, and I think he is going to make that left field platoon with him and Jock a force to be reckoned with. You know, he had the really bad postseason. He had a pretty decent season when he wasn't hurt and recovered from injury. I think he has, everyone's going to have kind of a renewed mindset coming into this. He, you know, had a little bit different off season or quarantine season, I guess, than everyone else. He was in the hospital a lot with his daughter. Obviously, that's going to be at the top of his mind, but I think he's going to be able to push through all that. And I think he's going to I don't know if they'll have All-Stars this year, but he'll be All-Star caliber.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see what they do about the All-Star game. I assume it's just going to be canceled. All right, my last final prediction is, I'm trying to think how to, has to do with Dustin May and Julio Urias and Tony Gonsolin. And basically, with the short season, none of them having training wheels on, you know, it's hard to know where they're going to fit in the rotation with Buehler and Kershaw and Wood and Price already there, and plus Stripling and whoever else. But come the postseason, I think we're going to see rested young pitchers dominating for the Dodgers, whether it's in long relief roles or if they're doing piggyback starts or what. But you imagine a game 4 start of, okay, we're just throwing May and Gonsolin and Julio for 3 innings each. Something like that. The restedness of the Dodgers' young pitching is going to pay huge dividends in the postseason.
Yeah, I like that. And that's kind of been one of the biggest things I've thought about, and we talked about a little bit on here, is, you know, all these guys, like I said, they're not going to have any real innings restrictions. Obviously, the rotation spots aren't probably going to be there, but we saw May and Julio both do well in the postseason. Last year, Julio the year before, and Gonsolin I would have no issue with as well. So I can see that. I'm going to add to that, and I'm going to just put it out there into the world and let it happen, is Brusdar Graterol will get the last out of the Dodgers season. I won't say where that's going to be, but he
say where it's going to be, Vince.
You know where I want to be. It's going to be in the World Series. Brujar Gadarov will save game
4.
I'll go game 5. I'll give a gentleman sweep. Game
no
4.
Faith.
No, game 5 of the World Series this year, and the Dodgers will be champions. People will try to take away the legitimacy of the championship this year. They'll just be haters. The Dodgers haven't had issues with the regular season in the last 7 years. The postseason is where it gets them. So, you know, winning a postseason this year wouldn't really change that. So, yeah, Brujar Gadarov is going to get the last out.
I like that. Yeah, I've said it before. I'll say it again. If the Dodgers win the World Series this year, it will be totally legitimate because, like you said, that it's not like anybody would think, oh, they only made the postseason because of the short season. If the Marlins win the World Series, if the Mariners win the World Series, yeah, I'm calling shenanigans. But if it's a team like the Dodgers that is good enough and everybody expected to make the postseason anyway, totally legitimate because the postseason is going to be a regular postseason. You got to get through that. And what we've seen is that that's tough to get through. You know, hopefully a version of Clayton Kershaw that's only thrown 75 innings going into the postseason is at his peak in October and everything's awesome. My question for you is, do we get to have a parade?
I think there will be a parade, but it might be delayed.
Yeah.
Until like January or something.
And it'll just wet their appetites, and then they'll go out and win the 2021 World Series too. And with newly extended Mookie Betts, you know. So I don't know. Who do you think is going to be the Dodgers MVP this year? The MVP of the Dodgers this year, offensive or pitching, you know, but who's going to be the player that carries the team the most?
I'm going to go with Max Muncy. Just for Muncy. He's consistent. Last year he started off a little slow, but I think he's got the best approach, obviously. And I think, you know, he's always been the guy the last couple of years where I've always trusted him in those situations, in key situations. But I think he'll be the guy that, you know, steps above. I think he's come. Not that he was worried about contracts before, but I think, you know, the fact that he has a little bit of security, the fact that his approach and his swing is always built to never really slump, them going Max Muncy.
So they're playing 60 games, so you figure your average player will get 240 to 270 plate appearances. My last question for you, Vince, how many different Dodgers get at least 80 plate appearances as the DH? 80? No, that's too high. 50 plate appearances as DH.
I'd go with 5.
5? I think that's right. I think they're going to spread that wealth around a lot. I think they're going to, you know, with all their guys who can play multiple positions, they're going to want to get JT days off. They're going to get Muncy days off. Even Bellinger. Obviously, Bellinger and Betts aren't going to get as many days off because they provide so much value defensively. But everybody else, Seager, you know, whoever, when you've got guys like Taylor and Kike and Beatty and even Rios who can bounce around and play different positions, I think lots of guys are getting lots of days off.
Yeah, and even, you know, on days against righties, potentially Jock could DH and have Taylor in left field or someone else in left field and increase the defense even more. Like a defense with Mookie Betts, Taylor, and Cody Bellinger is covering a lot of ground.
Yeah, absolutely. And and I love that this opens up, the Universal DH opens up more at-bats for guys like Beatty and Rios who don't have, you know, have a natural spot in this on this team, but obviously can provide a lot of value. I'm excited. I'm excited to have baseball back. It's going to be weird. And like you said, there's still going to be uncertainty the whole year about whether we're even going to get through the season. But at least they're going to try, hopefully, and we're going to get to watch Mookie Betts play a regular season game in a Dodger uniform, even though it's going to be weird and quiet in the stadium. But, yeah, it is what it is, and I'll take it.
Yeah, like I said, we've talked about it many times over the last couple months, and that kind of what it all came down to was, you know, we'll take what we can get. That's where we're at the point now, so hopefully everything else can in the world can help accommodate that and give us, you know, at least something to look forward to. And kind of one of the weirdest years, probably for anybody who's still alive right now.
Yep.
All right, Jeff, you got any last things before we head out?
No, go Dodgers, and hopefully, hopefully tomorrow we can officially talk about the official agreement and that it's really, really happening.
Yep. Thank you all for listening to Locked On Dodgers. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you download every day, listen every day. Tell your friends, tell your family. Rate and review us, all that good stuff. You can find us on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to get a hold of us, you can do DMs through any of those, or you can shoot us a text or give us a call and leave a voicemail at 323-863-LOCK. Or shoot us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
And now tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Locked On MLB. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye.